very fucking unprofessional.
A lot of last minute preparation went into this sports show. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to oversaturate with the notes. I didn't like the product that came out the last time I did some shit like that. The only reason I mention it is because after taking all these motherfucking notes, it's about time. Shout out my brother Al. He said, don't let him know what you sipping on, man. That's a free ad, so fuck him. Y'all know what it is. Wintertime, we on the brown. Do that, you know, let your mind run with that as it may. But as I pour up and get right, y'all fuck with some shit that I didn't write. This is a true freestyle, no bullshit. Straight out the 3 a.m. files. If y'all are looking for this one in the future, this is a Stu Brett and Owen freestyle. Let me get my sip on.
Very fucking unprofessional.
I'm telling you, it's a problem, man. Someone please put the douce away.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Someone said the rap game was fucked up. Ruck came back, now y'all lucked up. Ain't shit lucky, this is fucking faith. Put the truth in front of y'all fucking face. Let them know exactly how the fuck it tastes. This is added treble, a little bass. This is what happens when you be rapping. Wake up out your nap just to write it on the napkin. Bruh, I've been snapping since I was like 9. I was writing lowercase letters back in that time. Now this shit is capital. All this shit in front of your face and holding motherfuckers for ransom and collateral. Never threw a lateral backwards, shit was always going forward in my motion. Y'all ain't knowing. Boy, I had a notion since I was like 9 that I'm never finna waste one moment of my time. 38 now, full on grind, letting motherfuckers stay inside the dust, y'all behind. I was really moving train of thoughts with my mind. Motors on loco, locomotive my mind. I'm slipping for the moment, but looking in the mirror at my only opponent. Yesterday was a blessed day, but today I promise any motherfuckers in this mirror right here don't want it. Only in competition with me on the other. Nowadays I'm just going hard for my mother. Trying to show her that she done did a hell of a job having a little boy who became the brother to the sisters that she had way before. I've been trying to tell y'all way back in 94, I was already ready to go to fucking war. Now it's 2024, need I say more? That's probably like 30 later. Them motherfuckers gonna be out. Night, night, little 30 hater. Feel me? Like Steph Curry when he do the pose. Y'all motherfuckers ain't tripping. Y'all exposed to a double dose of what is the fucking dopest. Y'all fuckers is hopeless. The shit you spitting is bogus. I'm trying to tell y'all, losing your focus. Y'all motherfuckers ain't seeing. I'm being ambient. Put your ass to sleep. All that talk is cheap. 7 days this week. Feel me? If not, then you probably slipping. I ain't feeling like a Ford on my expedition. But it's probably more so like a fucking, like a, I don't know, Tahoe that I'm gripping. On my way to where the fucking snow been falling. I really feel like I missed my calling. Allergic to the flow cause the boy like pollen. Eating bad food, get your lips on swollen. Oops, man, swollen. Y'all ain't knowing. Got more heart than Stu Brett and Owen. Y'all motherfuckers ain't going like Ruck. Y'all motherfuckers ain't flowing like Ruck. Y'all motherfuckers ain't saying damn thing. Y'all motherfuckers wasted vocals, rambling. My shit ready to rumble. Never ever did drop the bag, found one to fumble. All I did was find the illest motherfucker in his mind, then bring him down to reality and humble. Yep. That's the way the crooked crumble. You feeling crummy? Shoulda never fucked with me. Dumb dummy, bummy, punk motherfucker in the scene. Came through clean, flow pristine. I'm just trying to show you.
This
my
is without
dream.
A shadow of a doubt. D talking to town. Jatana's talking about unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck Sports Show 16.
Feeling like the number one seed playoff, the bye. Y'all don't play on the first week, my guy. Motherfuckers wait to see who comes. I'm fly. I'm feeling like a moth. No, I'm feeling like the light having to knock fuckers off. I was.
Come on, man. Who the fuck?
That's the 3 a.m. files. That's the ones where you don't really know what you're doing, right? The next day you wake up and you're like, it could be good. It could be, you know what I mean? Whatever.
You was listening to that with 3 a.m. ears. But when you get back to them like I did on that one sometime after, I was like, nah, this actually might be one of them ones. So there it goes. Stu Brett, Owen Freestyle. As always, man, if y'all want to have some of these things to to hold on to, holler at me, send me a message, do whatever you got to do on the social. If you see me in person, let me know. Now, Sports Show 16, we here. Get another little sip in one time. You know, it's that off week for the Super Bowl. It's that week where it's media time. You get all the dumbass interviews, the ignorant questions that come from people who aren't really in the sports media world, those who are just more so covering, you know, the spectacle that is the NFL Super Bowl. Not too much on football today. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. As we get closer, maybe I'll do another one before the bowl. Maybe not. Going to make a smooth couple predictions towards the end. Y'all stay tuned. But today we starting in basketball. While we're doing that, big news coming out, man. Going to be honest with y'all, I was half and half on this joint, at least, you know, when it first came out. But let's talk about it. The NBA 65-game rule. I'm thinking there might be a revision that is needed. We'll talk about it, then y'all let me know what y'all think in the comments. Let's get to it. Of the major sports, definitely in our country, you know, that I'm of the belief that football is king. But when the states, you know, major sports are concerned, I feel like the NBA is always not only at the forefront of innovation, inclusivity, but also with the best interests of the fans and players in mind. Let me expound. Initially, when this new 65-game rule was brought to the table, for those of y'all who are unfamiliar, the 65-game rule means players must now play 65 of the 82 regular season games in order to be eligible for end-of-the-season type rewards or awards, rather. Like, think about MVP, defensive, offensive player of the year, rookie, whatever, what have you, right? Initially, you know, I looked at it and I was like, okay, this is something where it has to go through the CBA, collective bargaining agreement. This isn't just, you know, the owners making decisions and then it gets instated and people got to deal with it. This is appointed by a union, basically, right? In the past, there have been players who not only played at the time but were also part of the union. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew the specifics about who's the head seat of that chair as far as for the player side of things in the CBA. What I do know is this was agreed upon by the union, whether every individual player signed on to this or not, which is what I've been hearing from a lot of players who have come out to criticize. They definitely signed them checks and made sure that shit got deposited into account, so we got to keep that in mind while we continue. It gets to this point, man. The reason why I was behind it in the beginning, kind of, you know, as it flashes across your screen, you see it and you're like, okay. And the reason why you say that is because you're talking from a fan perspective. Oftentimes we see big names of their respective teams sit out under the guise of what they call load management. Load management was kind of brought to the forefront and popularized by Coach Pop, longtime head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Felt like throughout the long, enduring, you know, 82-game season, it was to his benefit. Won some of his, you know, better players, got up there in age in order to preserve their energy and give them the best, opportunity for a long postseason push. He would take particular games and sit them down. This didn't always happen at home. Sometimes this happened at away games. And it started to not only, you know, take hold of the Spurs, but get popularized throughout. People started following that blueprint. Now I'm going to look at it like, you know, games aren't cheap to attend, especially if your team's performing well. Sometimes, you know, you're in the instance where your favorite team plays across the country. You wait for them to come out, attend a game where it's close enough for you to go see live. You show up, and load management could definitely play a part in ruining your experience. But of an 82-game regular season, 41 played at home, 41 played elsewhere, in hindsight, I'm feeling like 65 might be a high number. Now, under this rule, like I said, not only will players not be eligible for major end-of-the-year awards, but sometimes it plays into other things monetarily, their contracts going forward. We'll get to that in a second. We've seen players this season, right? They rush back. They come back to play after injuries where maybe they should have sat out a little bit longer. We've seen Tyrese Halliburton, former Sacramento King, in that trade with Domantas. He sends himself, or actually he gets sent, along with Buddy Hield over to Indiana. One of the rarities where a trade works out perfectly for both teams. I think if they had the opportunity to make those trades again, they would still do it, regardless of, you know, how Halliburton's looked and how this year Fox has had an up-and-down type season. I say all that to say this. We've seen players rush back under, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, under fear or in fear or if it's just the fact that they want to be eligible for these certain things. In the case of Tyrese Halliburton, we'll get to that soon. I could completely understand why that guy would make that decision. But there's others who obviously give their all to the game, and we're going to discuss that right now. Not only was it Tyrese Halliburton who rushed back, but you also see Joel Embiid, star of the Philadelphia 76ers, reigning NBA MVP, to be more specific. Maybe it was the rule he had in mind. When he rushed back, you know, more, I guess, quicker than expected from what had been ailing him. You know, a lot of people are going to say, as players, sometimes they want, you know, want some time off. They're going to kind of exaggerate an injury. But you know your body. You've been training, dedicated to this sport, whether it's what you eat, what you do in the offseason, how you train throughout the year, in order to be the best version of yourself and help out your team as well as your family. Now, I think you'd be a fool if you questioned Joel Embiid's love for the game, his dedication to his craft. Obviously a big man who's able to do some things that are just mind-boggling when you see his abilities and talent on the court. Regardless of whatever it is, he came back. Maybe it's the 65-game rule. Maybe it's contractually. Maybe there's, you know, other type of incentives we don't really have knowledge of, at least not myself. But in doing so, it results in a torn meniscus that's now going to result in a surgery that's going to have him out for an extended period of time. What the feezy? Now, there's no telling if this is going to be season-ending for him. Of course, they plan on being in the postseason, but without an MB, this is definitely going to affect their chances, or at least, you know, shake up the seating over there in the Eastern Conference. It's crazy to me because you look at a person like this who means so much to his squad, the focal point of their offense, and defense, rather. A rebound machine, just does it all over the court, everything you could think of, right? But this also, you know, this rule also affects eligibility for some people contractually. For instance, Tyrese Halliburton missed 10 of 11 games that he missed this season due to a hamstring sprain. He's in a position now where if he misses three or more games, he wouldn't be eligible for a Supermax extension, losing out on about $41 million in his next contract. Talk about a guy who came from a small market team like Sacramento that wasn't in a winning culture. Found himself shipped out to Indiana, a team kind of in the same boat, definitely a small market. In recent years, maybe a little bit more success than the Kings, but still a team fighting for notoriety at this point. Goes over there, changes the complete culture. We've seen what he did in the in-season tournament, getting them to the finals game up against LeBron and them. Every time you look at his stat line, it's something that, you know, is unprecedented. He's been doing remarkable shit over there for the squad. To think of him, with all that he's done for both cities he's played in thus far in his short career, to be penalized for something because of a new rule that was like instated this season. If there's anybody who has deserved getting, you know, the big bag thrown at him, that's a Tyrese Halliburton for just the way that he plays the game and his attitude throughout. $41 million, I know if that's something that you're going to be missing out, the contract is already fat, right? But you got to think about it. For those of y'all who are going to be like, are you crying over an extra $41 million? Still going to get your $180 or whatever the fuck plus million, right? I want you to now think about the owners and the organizations who make more so, even more than that, off of the backs of these players who are going out and trying to perform their best throughout 82 games of a regular season, much less the playoffs, much less the new scheduling where shit just seems like there's a lot, you know, there's back-to-backs, a lot of travel involved. And you're just the owner or, you know, you're a part of this organization and you're sitting back and you're telling these guys, get in there and do what you do. Eating off, you know, off the top, giving them what you feel is necessary for their talents. And now a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, who has been the epitome of just professionalism. For a youngster like him to come in and show that type of attitude. And when I say attitude, I mean all the right things. just one of those rare players right now in the NBA where if your child looked at him as one of his favorites, you would be proud. And look at a player that is doing shit the right way and be like, yeah, emulate your game after that young man. Act the way he does on and off court. Put in the type of work he does. It's one of those rarities in sports, much less in the NBA, where now it's, you know, everybody's face is seen. Everybody's given enough rope to either climb or do something harmful to themselves. Think about a Ja Morant, all the talent in the world, jumps out the gym, you know, a highlight package waiting to happen, but off the court just can't make the right decisions, and then you see how that plays out. But a Tyrese Halliburton now to be losing $41 million or to be having that in the back of his mind when he's thinking about making money for his family, when he's out there on the court, coming back, maybe rushing back from an injury where he should take some time, it just seems crazy to me. There's been a lot of frustration expressed since this Embiid injury from some of the biggest stars and some lesser known. LeBron James, Draymond Green, both very vocal about this, talking about, you know, what are you going to say now to all these sports media people who come out and have their comments about load management, this, players need to play that. Now you have one of the premier players in this league who's going to miss extended time, and this team now is going to have to find a way to pick up the pieces and continue what he's set in motion for them without the guy. In my humble opinion, I'm thinking I got to propose a revision, and I'm not the person for this. This is just off of the top, you know, freestyling, maybe some type of resolution. I would say maybe improve that count, right? Maybe if the 65 game is a number that y'all landed on in the CBA agreement, maybe now we look at it like if it's not a load management situation, if there's an obvious injury that's inflicting or, you know, affecting the player, let's give them another 8 to 10 games. If this is something where we're going to risk their long-term success and abilities over the fear of not making an all-NBA team, not getting an accolade towards the end of the season that they may be deserving of, let's hold out an extra batch of games for if these players are actually hurt and obviously, you know, ailing with some type of serious injury or one that could lead to something more serious. That's unfolding, you know, another package, like a surplus of games where they're able to miss maybe an 8 to 10 range, depending on injury. Maybe some come with a longer extension. I don't know. And I want to say that this, you know, this would definitely, in my mind, be strictly for the season ending, you know, the end of season awards. I can't tell an owner how to spend their money or what kind of bag to give to a player, especially if they feel like they haven't got the most playing time from one of their superstars signed in the contract on their squad. But at the very least, for the players who look at this game and want to have a legacy when they eventually leave it that shows, you know, I did this, I achieved that, those are the players who aren't going to be sitting out for load management if it's not necessary. Those are the players who are going to want opposing fan bases to be able to see them come in and perform. Whether you're a fan who's cheering or a foe that's booing. That's simply my little thoughts on a possible revision to this rule that would be able to find a median where we don't get into another situation where a guy like Joel Embiid is now only missing time from the court but could have possibly shortened his career at this point.
Now, moving on, but staying in the NBA, well, kind of, sort of, y'all let me know what you think. Washington Wizards, man, I had not known this. This kind of, you know, came as a surprise to me. I've known it's been quite some time, you know, since the Wizards have done some things. I think about, I don't even know. What are we talking about? Was it when Jordan came back out of retirement and started, you know, take on some responsibilities over there as well as playing? Needless to say, it's been quite some time. I would have never guessed it had been this long, though. By mid-January, January 19th to be 100% exact, a sub-50 win record was pretty much locked in and clinched for the Washington Wizards for the 45th straight season. What the feezy? We're talking about this dating back to 1979.
Think about everything that's happened. I mean, just of recent time, I know there's Kyle Kuzma over there. You got Jordan Poole, who you may have thought you were going to be able to give the keys to, right? You've seen his success over there in Golden State. You got to always take that shit with a grain of salt. The reason why I say that is because Golden State is great. When everything's clicking, when Draymond's staying out of trouble, when Klay's not in his head, when Steph is just doing Steph, the one constant that's remained since the 2000-whatever seasons, right, 2016, 15, 14, whatever, even in the moments where you may look at things and say, perhaps, you know, maybe he's lost a step, I don't even think that's the case. Follow the times, follow the time, but that guy continues to do what he could do, and his motor's like none other. But you look at a Jordan Poole, literally got knocked the fuck out of his squad and his team, right? His opportunities there in Golden State. Draymond said, hit the road, Jack. And you think you're getting Jordan motherfucking Poole, instead you're getting Jordan Kiddie Poole. You fucked around and got Jordan Puddle. You bring him over and you think, you know, this is a guy who's going to be, you know, playing with a chip on his shoulder, going to want to prove that he was the guy back there and could continue to be that guy over here. You got Kuzma, someone who you can see as his, you know, road dog, a Batman and a Robin, regardless of who you think, you know, is which. But you get Jordan Kiddie Poole. Right now, currently, they have a 9-40 record as of today. What the feezy? The only thing that keeps them off the radar and the reason why I hadn't paid too much credence to what they had going on was the fact that the Detroit Pistons are 6-43. The other day, my wife, you know, she's a casual basketball fan. You know, she watches, she gets into it. She's been that way for some time now. But she just asked me and my son while we're sitting down at dinner with her. She's like, yo, who's the worst team in the NBA? In unison, without even having to think about it, damn near, you know, in stereo, sounded like an echo in the room. We said Detroit Pistons. Couldn't even say the Pistons. You know what I mean? How people be excited to have the answer. You watching like Jeopardy or some shit. Who are the Pistons? No, motherfuckers is like Detroit Pistons. Said that shit with like disgust, right? That's the only thing that's keeping this Washington Wizards team off of the map. But you think about the Pistons, they won a chip recently. I say recently because I'm an old motherfucker, right? You think about them getting that victory. I believe it was LA that they beat, right? Ben Wallace, them squads. Who else? Rasheed Wallace. They're the Wallace brothers. No relation. Washington, man. I mean, God bless any remaining Washington Wizards fans and also take them in for a psych evaluation. This shit is ridiculous at this point, right? And that's coming from a Raider and Kings fan. 45 fucking years? 1979? I don't know. Shit is wild. Is there going to be a change that comes anytime soon? I don't think so. I think they're probably going to poach more of the decent players off of that squad and move them elsewhere. But Jordan Kiddie Poole / Puddle struggles real over there, bruh. People were making fun of your media day pictures when they saw the excitement that you had while you're playing for Golden State versus the pictures you took when you took your media day pictures for Washington Wizards. Didn't even look like my guy did it. Went out the trouble to go get a shape up. He just came in scruffy. Fuck it, man. It's, you know what I mean? We here. That motherfucker came in with the same type of energy that Rich came in with to do a pod. You know what I mean? What's going on, Rich? How you doing? Well, I'm here. Well, you don't have to be, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? My fault. But it's real. It's crazy, man. Some change has to come. You know what I mean? Eventually, you got to shake shit up. Look at me now. I'm over here speaking into the mic solo bolo, but I'd rather have it that way than have a kiddie pool or a struggle puddle. We rocking. Y'all gotta, you know, somebody gotta reel me back in. You feel me? Somebody gonna listen to this shit and be like, Ruck, you wildin'. You damn right. It's all good, though. Let's keep it pushing. NBA All-Star Weekend is coming up. I had to kind of go check the date. Spend some time. I watch my Kings games and then some other games here and there, but I'm not, you know, 100% locked in. I keep up. I try to watch as much as I can. But you know, my focal point is the Sac Kings, and it's not been too much. Well, it's been up and down. We'll get to that shit later. Nobody really cares right now. The NBA All-Star Weekend, February 16th through the 18th, taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana, home of the Pacers. These are the starting lineups, or at least prior to injury, starting lineups for each side. The Western Conference is led by Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic. Eastern Conference was supposed to be the Twin Towers. You were supposed to see Giannis Antetokounmpo along with Joel Embiid. Embiid's injury is obviously going to force him to be replaced. Tyrese Halliburton, the hometown hero, at least, you know, Indiana Pacer hero. Damian Lillard making his first start. Now that he's over in the East, took the spot of Jalen Brunson, most people feel. They had to give him one, right? He was over in the West, so it wasn't going to happen over there. I love you, Dame, but you know what it is. And then, of course, Jason Tatum for the Boston Celtics. As a Kings fan, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to feel like this is 100% bias, but the fact that there's no De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis, even in the role of a reserve, is kind of crazy to me. What the feezy? I know the Fox's play has been up and down, but the start of the season, he was hotter than anyone in the league. Multiple times, Western Conference Player of the Week to begin the season. Clutch Player of the Year last year. Made leaps and bounds from his previous years as a Sacramento King and just, you know, looked like he was trending up. Talk about Domantas Sabonis. This guy is fifth overall in MVP votes right now, and you're not able to make the Western Conference team as a reserve? I might be on the island as far as people who give the, you know, a full shit about the Sacramento Kings, but that's going to change. It's already started to change. You see the way that we're starting to get primetime love. They flexed some of our games that weren't supposed to be primetime, made them primetime games, and we were already promised, I believe, 22, 11 that were on TNT or ABC, and then another 11 on the NBA network. But here we are. We're coming. Y'all ain't going to be able to hold us back for too long. We'll see how this shit transpires going forward, but you guys got to play with a chip on your shoulder and use this as ammunition. Let the league see what they've been missing. 3-point contest participants, at least those who have been locked in thus far. Jalen Brunson. Oh, now y'all want him. Motherfuckers, right? New York Knicks representative. Damian Lillard of the Milwaukee Bucks. Tyrese Halliburton, of course, hometown hero, Indiana Pacer. Lauri Markkanen. The name like that, you just had to know he was playing for Utah. And Malik Beasley of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah. We'll clap it up, right? Short clap. What everybody really wants to see is the first ever man versus woman competition in this. You're talking about, I'm not going to go out of pocket and say Steph and female Steph. That's not the case, especially not on National Women in Sports, Women and Girls in Sports Day. Clap it up for that. Regardless of whatever takes I may have had, you know, when it comes to certain females in the past, when Ruck starts, you know, wilding out, going on a Ruck rant, more so on the you know, entertainment, media, and music, you know, side of things. But in sports, I'm 100% an advocate. I've seen what it's done for my daughter. Started off, you know, in whatever she can get her name on as far as basketball in middle school, and then came over here to Tracy, and I've witnessed her go from softball to volleyball to whatever it is that she could get her hands on. Still now playing competitive volleyball with people of all ages. And when I say what I've seen, what it did for her is I've seen just a transformation where you come out of your shell at school, you start being a part of a team, the camaraderie that comes with it, the friends and the bonds that you not only get there, but you gain and grow and nurture into, you know, lifelong friends. The out of, you know, sport meetings where they get together, go out for dinner and just chill. Everybody gets back together and update how shit going. Like, things like that, you can't put a price on. My middle son went from wrestling in freshman year to returning to wrestling this year. And now he's also, you know, trying to get his hands into the volleyball thing on the man's side of shit. And to me, I'm like, bro, I seen him come out of his shell too. It's friends coming over, everybody's like-minded, they got goals, they're working towards something. My youngest, in middle school right now, doing basketball in the midst of it right now, the tryouts, the conditioning, I see him coming home tired for good reasons. Not because he was up all night on the sticks, because he's out there getting to it. Making his name, you know, be seen and heard from coaches, and already told me. Same coach from last year was like, okay, we see who got better. Well, my boy's been playing throughout the summer, throughout his free time. You know what I mean? When you get somebody and you get them passionate about something, it's a beautiful thing. And that's why, you know, I want to make sure to highlight the girls and women in sports National Day. Now, woman by the name of Sabrina Ionescu, she's been making a name for herself in the college game, now into the WNBA, as being a lights-out shooter of her own, three-point range for days. People have made comparisons to Steph, but hey, I think she's just Sabrina. Let's leave it at that, right? Steph and Sabrina have been hearing the comparisons. You know, they both praise each other. They give each other props and definitely a fan of each other's games. Now, for the first time, in a one-versus-one, Steph will go up against Sabrina in the three-point competition this year in the NBA All-Star Game. What I thought was even more telling about Sabrina and her heart and her determination and her love for the game, she said, fuck that, I'll shoot from the man's three. That shit don't scare me. You see her pulling up from range. She got, you know, Damian Lillard type range, Steph Curry anywhere in the building shooting type range. Not afraid of that. Be interesting to see these two go heads up. It's definitely going to be one of the highlights of the night. Speaking of highlights, the court will be highlighted. First time ever, glass LED field court for the skills portion competition of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Clap it up for that. I told y'all, man, NBA, Adam Silver, you always got to show them love, man. They do what they could do to make sure that this shit continues to pop off the screen in any way possible. Another way is a celebrity all-star game, something that I haven't always tapped into, I'll be honest. It usually pops off on like a Friday. Person like me, get home from work on a Friday, it's decompressed time. Sometimes you don't even realize that it's on at the time it's on, whatever. I'm going to make sure to tune in and check it out this season. This year, teams will be head coached, one side by Shannon Sharpe, the other side by Stephen A. Smith. What I thought was interesting, assistant coaches that have been added, celebrity assistant coaches. 50 Cent will be helping out Shannon Sharpe on his side of things, helping out Stephen A. Smith as an assistant, Lil Wayne. Crazy, man. I'm going to add a little caveat not too many people will probably talk about. When you think about Lil Wayne and sports shows, you think about how he went from being Skip's partner over here at First Take, or where he was at First Take, then transitioned with him over to FS1. Even has a contract over there where he sits in on some of those shows. He's done the theme song for them multiple times while Shannon was there, and now in Shannon's departure. The fact that he was teamed up with Stephen A. Smith, that was just a little funny to me, but hey, it is what it is. I ain't trying to be messy. Again, I want to shout out the NBA and Adam Silver for always making their all-star competition must-see TV. Well, at least most of it. For some time now, the dunk contest has been lacking. I think it was 2015 or 16, don't quote me. It should just be renamed Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine for the performance that they put up. I remember me and Moms was watching all those things together at that time. She had become a huge fan of basketball. Shout out to my sister Stacy, you know, for taking her to some of these games. I was always in attendance with them as well. Went to an opening game of the first series of the playoffs one year. I believe it was the Warriors versus the Rockets. When you go and you witness it live firsthand, and then you watch a team that's having the success like this, like the Warriors teams were of the past, recent past, I don't want to try to hate, you can't help but become a fan. Clearly remember watching this, and for Moms, you know, being a casual fan, watching a dunk contest and jumping out the chair the same as I did, you know those guys put on the show. Last year, although, you know, it had been some years since there was any excitement, you saw a young guy by the name of Mac McClung came and made a name for himself right away. This year, proud to let y'all know that will be the return of the Mac. Joining him will be Boston Celtics' Jaylen Brown, Jaime Jaquez Jr., and Jacob Toppin. Now, I'm going to tell you, of course, everybody knows Jaylen Brown. If you watched last year, you know Max McClung. If you have been watching this season, Jaime Jaquez Jr. is someone who's jumped off the screen, literally, when I've seen this guy play. Recently called him on a couple of games where he was opposing the Kings. And the fact that he's a, you know, Latin superstar in the league right now. I'm going to say superstar because if you make it, you're better than more than half of the field in the entire world. So, hey, shout out to the guy. Jacob Toppin, I did not know. He's from the Knicks. I thought they did a typo. I thought it was Obi again, and they didn't realize he was traded. Now an Indiana Pacer, I felt like maybe, the, you know, the fact that it's in Indiana, that was a no-brainer. But Jacob Toppin. I'm going to be honest, man. I hope that I'm wrong, but I think this might be the portion of the show where you're able to go make a store run, put some laundry in the dryer, whatever you got to do, right? It just hasn't been, you know, what it was in the past. I think the fact that these superstars who you know could jump through the fucking roof don't join it is an indictment on their egos. But, hey, Cole said it right. Pride is the devil. What you definitely can't make a store run on or even afford to blink on is this Western Conference standings as of now. As of today, zero games separate the top four seeds in the Western Conference. What the feezy? At one, Los Angeles Clippers with a 34-15 record. Surprising team at two, Oklahoma City Thunder 35-16. In the third slot, the Minnesota Timberwolves with a matching 35-16 record. The same applies to the number four spot owned by the Denver Nuggets, 35-16. Now, the Kings are currently in the fifth seed, five games back. I don't nobody asked. Fuck y'all. Laughing my ass off. It's all good. You know what I mean? Fuck y'all, though. Definitely going to be interesting to see as the season progresses and gets closer to the end, how this all pans out, which teams you think are still going to be there come the end of the season versus those who may find themselves taking a dissension, falling down a little bit in the standings. If I had to pick right now, I would say the Clippers are fool's gold only for the fact that there's a lot of ego on that team. James Harden, you never know how long he's going to buy into things. Almost seems like he's been cursed a little bit, right? But I don't think they fall far. I think they still do remain in that top four, just maybe not one. The Thunder, I know that people in the past, you know, with a good basketball mind have said that they were going to be a team to come, you know, up and surprise people and be a team to be reckoned with for the foreseeable future. Maybe the youth proves to disappear when the lights get a little bit brighter. Maybe not. The Timberwolves. That's a team where you know that there's talent there. Can't ever put anything past Anthony Edwards, but you think about Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe this is the match that they needed. Maybe this is the winning combination. Maybe these guys are all able to now change the narrative that surrounds them. But I'll be interested to see if these guys still remain this high in the seeds. You know, in the seeding and standings coming into the year. And the Denver Nuggets, I feel like you could just book it. Even though they've lost a few pieces due to free agency coming into this season, you got what you have, and those pieces that you know are going to remain, they're going to be a name that you're going to have to hear, unfortunately, for some time to come. Now, is this going to be the same for the Warriors? Definitely not a team that you're looking at as the top of the Western Conference, but is it going to change, or is this something that may remain for the foreseeable future? The reason why I ask, because it seems like the Warriors may choose loyalty over the longevity of their recent legacy. It's been reported the core three of Steph, Klay, and Dre will not break up without Steph Curry's blessing, according to Ramona Shelburne. Not only her, but I've heard that from a few other people elsewhere as well. My question is, if you're Steph Curry, how long are you going to remain loyal to these guys? Not an indictment on who you are as an individual, your makeups or your characteristics as a person, but just knowing that Father Time is undefeated and a lot of your game revolves around that motor of yours. When it gets up there in mileage, you're not able to just change out an engine like you can in a vehicle. This is what you got for life. So to me, is he going to be able to make that decision? Is he going to be able to look into the eyes of a Klay Thompson who's clearly lost a step? And I don't want to blame him for that. We got to make a point to definitely mention the injuries. When you damn near miss 2 years in a row due to injuries that would take most people out of the game in totality, just the mere fact that he's back and able to produce on the days that he is a testament to him and what he dedicates to his game and to his craft. Now, the one that really has me scratching my head is you guys continuously throw a big bag at Draymond Green, who shows that he has a big bag of not giving a fuck when it comes to his emotions at times. This is a guy, I don't want to, you know, go 100% back on that rant that I went on in the past, but for mental issues, for a lack of maturity, he damn near, you know, slaps Steph in the face when he does it to Nurkic. And then you want to talk about possibly retiring. The reason why I bring it back up is because Steph Curry is using some of his prime years and dedicating them to a guy who was willing to walk out on his squad after putting them in tough positions time and time again. Now, if you're Steph Curry, would you pull the trigger for a talent? Like who? Is this something that you would do for... does it have to be somebody young? I mean, relatively, what is young in the NBA? You talk about an anomaly like LeBron James, who's now, what, 38, 39? Still playing remarkable ball. That's definitely a rarity. It's not something that you could count on for everybody, right? Yeah, you got a Kuminga. Talented for sure. Is he ever going to be a superstar, perennial all-star? Is that ever going to be future going forward? We don't know. It all depends on how he matures, not only on court, but off court. The type of relationships he has with coaching staff, trainers, players, teammates, whatever it may be, right? But think about some of the players that are out there still in that playing pool who may be coming close to a contract change and could be acquired by a Golden State team who's never been afraid of spending some money. This is purely just speculation because I'm trying to segue into the next story, but would you do it for a Luka? If you're Jason Kidd, you definitely would. Recently, a Jason Kidd quote in which he expressed that Luka was a one-in-a-lifetime talent, compared him to the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. He even went as far as to say that he was better than Dirk Nowitzki, the leader of the team that got Jason Kidd his championship with the Mavericks. This is what the NBA on TNT team thought about it.
Talk about, yeah.
Said he's better than Dirk. He's in the atmosphere of MJ, the best to ever do it. LeBron, Kobe, and so just to appreciate what this young man is doing at the age of 24 is something Dallas hasn't seen. And then you fast forward to the bottom. We need to get the right people around him to win a championship.
And I'm off of this. I think offensively, this guy is gifted. There is nobody that can one-on-one stop him. He plays at his own pace, and this pace he's going to be able to play at for years to come. Mid-post, you got it. Left pull-up, you got it. Get to your spot, to the basket, assist, you got it.
And by every metric, he's the first to get to every plateau at the earliest age.
So yes. He is on pace. So offensively, he's there, but his teams have struggled defensively, and I think a lot of that has to do with his matchup and his ability to play on that end of the floor.
Shaq, what was
a little too early for that? Great player, done a lot of 24, but the key is consistency. I've seen a lot of guys that played great their first 4 years and you don't hear from them, so.
But have reached every plateau first?
Listen, he came in young. You know, he's playing in a different era. Great player, but I don't think you can start putting him in that category, not yet.
Gotta be honest. Have to agree with Shaquille O'Neal. 24 is young, not only that, but throwing out some big names there. I think it's disrespectful to Dirk Nowitzki, to be honest. But I'm not the basketball mind that these guys are, so I'll leave it up to them. I just want to ask y'all, you know, I'm giving y'all opinions. Is Luka everything that they say he's cracked up to be? He's had some great teammates. Wasn't able to make that transition into a big impact as far as wins and losses are concerned. I thought him and Porzingis was going to be something that y'all were going to have to deal with for some fucking time. Along with adding to the ability to coerce people to come over to Dallas. As if you needed any when you think about Mark Cuban, one of the most favorited owners in the league. Shit. If I knew I was going to go out there and get 0-0-0 every year, I'd fucking, you know, every game I would play for fucking Mark Cuban, to be real. It is what it is. Might be too soon. Might prove to actually be, you know, something that has a little bit more of a credence as time goes on. Still remains to be seen. We shall see.
But Jason Kidd, man, you talking crazy, fam. Moving on to the NFL. Definitely the focal point for a lot of people, especially at the time of the year that it is. The Super Bowl will be kicking off this Sunday. Just a few days away from the big game. The fact is the Niners and Chiefs in Allegiant. Forgive me if I'm not overly excited. So I'm going to start with some Raiders action, actually. You know what I mean? Some Raiders news. Regarding our coaching changes and the staff that's being built under new head coach Antonio Pierce. Deshaun Foster has been assigned as running backs coach for the Raiders going forward. Joining Patrick Graham's defensive staff will be Mike Caldwell, who comes over from the Jacksonville Jaguars. One that had me scratching my head, and I guess we got to talk about it in depth. Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator now, who comes over from the Chicago Bears, who, to be honest, this past season wasn't too impressive. Was Justin Field injured at times? No doubt. Do we have better skill players in most positions with the exception of quarterback, if I have to be 100% honest? And yes, we do. Sometimes it can only be as good as what you got on the field and what's, you know, going, you know, gelling as far as what you have. But DJ Moore, Darryl Mooney, some pieces. We shall see what he's able to do over here, but it just kind of seems to me like he was obviously the second choice. Cliff Kingsbury was all but pretty much officially announced prior to taking his name out of the race and joining the Washington Commanders staff.
What the feezy?
People were speculating it was money related. Other people were saying, you know, there had to be something else going on. Now I'm hearing rumors that Magic Johnson, of all people, lifelong Raider fan, played a part in getting Kingsbury to come over to the Commander's staff. Definitely a lot of money to throw around over there in Washington. When you talk about a billionaire of the stature of Magic Johnson just being one of a team of people owning that squad. Possible tampering? I don't know. Kingsbury in the past was able to do things with a quarterback that was talented in certain aspects, maybe lacking in others. That was a name that kind of made me feel a little bit more at ease as far as the offense going forward. But hey, you can only work with what you got. Anything is better than the Josh McDaniels calling shots. So Antonio Pierce, I'll be trusting of you and your decision-making process. Marvin Lewis has also agreed to be part of this staff. Rumors that I'm hearing. Definitely going to have to see a little bit more to confirm this with y'all, but these are rumors that I'm hearing. Chad Ochocinco, very vocal about the fact that he wants to be a part of this Raiders coaching staff. Not only a fan of Antonio Pierce and what he's doing and what he's building and the culture that he's seeing being generated in Vegas, but this is a guy who I've seen on other publications literally get emotional watching the route running of Devontae Adams. It's not even arguable. This guy is one of the best receivers in the entire league. Has been for some years now. This year I've seen great things from him, and I've seen things that also made me have cause for concern, mostly attitude. If you know that the team is already dealing with adversity, when, you know, shit is starting to at least start to look up. We got rid of the jackasses from New England. We got Antonio Pierce over here. The culture is changing. You were dropping passes that were in your hands, fam. You were demonstrative. Dare I say, DeMarcus Cousins-like on certain plays. You're playing with a limited quarterback, somebody who's not able to do what Aaron Rodgers was able to do. Not many are. That goes for Jimmy Garoppolo and Aiden O'Connell. But we need you to be a leader. To set the tone. Set the bar. And then make sure that people do their best to rise above it. Will Chad Ochocinco be able to come over and, you know, instill more of that culture, more of that happiness in the locker room? 100%. Will he be able to share his knowledge with the Devontae and, more importantly, the younger receivers on our core? Hell yeah. Should Hunter Renfro continue to remain with this team? He could learn. Jacoby Myers, he could learn. Tucker, he could learn. Carter, he could learn. Anybody in the Raiders fucking uniform, regardless of what side of the ball you are participating in, can learn from an Ochocinco,
not only what to do, but mistakes he's made along the way as well. And if absolutely nothing else, he'll be able to get some jokes off and laugh with a guy who not only is knowledgeable about the game, but a funny motherfucker at that. Now, shout out to Atlanta Falcons defensive lineman Calais Campbell, the recipient of the 2024 Allen Page Award. This is annually given to the player who demonstrates a profound dedication to positively impacting his team, city, and communities. At the end of the day, not everybody is going to be eligible to go win some of these things that are voted on based on actual talent. There's a lot of people in the NFL who, trust me, if you're on a 53-man roster in the greatest league for football in the world, you are cream of the crop. But to be recognized for something that is off of the field, during a grueling season, being a player that he is, who's also heralded for his actions on the field, to be able to still dedicate time and do things like this and get something that is more self-serving to the heart than it is to the ego, I'm clapping it up for Calais one more time, man. When you look back at your life, the impacts that you made here, and watching youngsters who grow up and whether they achieve the goal or dream of being in the NFL or whatever else their dream is, and you think about those guys getting to that point and being able to say that a deciding factor or a changing point in their lives was based off their interaction with you, that's something that a Nolan Barty Trophy could really even touch, in my opinion. Big fan of Shannon Sharp on the field. He was somebody who pissed me off, whether he was in Denver or on that Baltimore team, where ultimately ended the career of Rich Gannon, our last true hope at a chip. His media work, you cannot really sneeze at. This guy's done great things, whether he was a guest in the past on First Take while it was Stephen and Skip, to then going to FS1 and enduring his working relationship with Skip Bayless. Talk about now being on First Take. You talk about Club Shay Shay. You talk about the nightcap with Ocho Cinco. This guy's just box office. He was sitting down with Cam Newton, part of the Super Bowl media week. Cam has been very vocal about players who he thinks are game managers versus those who we think are game changers. Also been vocal about his dreams and wants to get back into the league himself. Sitting across from a straight shooter like Shannon Sharp, somebody in that crowd asked a question. This is how our discussion went.
If, as an uncle to nephew to uncle, tell me this. What could Cam, or should Cam, go back to the NFL, and what he got to do?
If that's what Cam wants to do, he Cam understands.
Okay.
In order to be great, you got to be a sacrifice. Now, what is Cam willing to sacrifice? Does Cam want to, you know, he has a family. You got a baby coming?
Yes. Pending.
Are you willing to, like, and is she willing to accept you, like, because it's got to be tunnel vision. It's got to be focused. It's hard for the really great players. You got to have a real stable at-home situation,
yes,
to understand. I got meetings. I got study. Yeah. I got to train the way I eat, the way I sleep. I have to understand that. Now, if he's willing to pay that price, uh-huh, there's a price to be paid for greatness. Yes, there's a price to be paid for success. Mm-hmm. And if you're not willing to pay that price, you don't deserve to be successful.
Right,
you don't deserve to be great. So the question that Cam is going to have to ask himself, and only he can answer, not his dad, not his mom, not his handlers, only Cam.
Yeah.
Cam, are you willing to pay that price? Do you want to put your body through that again? Do you want to train the way you train when you want, when you absolutely, you got to go back to Auburn Cam and he said, I'm coming out. And you got to go back to that level of training when you didn't have a dime. Mm. Because even though you have what you have, you got to train like you were broke. I was able to play 14 years. I trained and I ate and I survived like I didn't have a dime. Mm. And that's what Cam is going to have to do. And only Cam can answer that.
But this is the thing, too. If we keep it in the book. You say that on One Testament. And, you know, there was some viral clip.
Yes.
Cam, you were random. But this came off of, like you said, Cam gonna have to be a backup. I had accepted that fact, right?
Have you?
I have.
Okay.
And I gave you my list.
Okay.
And still, after dropping the list.
But Cam, at that situation, Cam, that's like I'm in the dating pool. And you say, well, I'm only going to date Regina Hall. I'm only going to date this, this, and this. Bro, you in the dating pool, boy. You in the dating app.
I cut off the clip, but Cam was like, but you can't have preferences? Shit funny, man. I love Shay Shay for just keeping it a buck. Shannon sitting right across from the man who's definitely very vocal, very demonstrative. Not demonstrative, but very opinionated. And stands on what he believes in. You can't be mad at Cam either. We've seen some things towards the end of his career where it seemed like not only did he miss a step, but the game had left him behind. Definitely an immense talent in his prime. Since then, he's gone on to have other endeavors and do other things. I think it's a huge point that Shannon pointed out to say, are you willing to dedicate, to sacrifice, to do this at the highest level, regardless of whether your abilities on the field have taken a step back or not? It's got to be discouraging. Never have I been an athlete at a pro level to where, you know, when that starts to leave you, you realize or able to see what that does to you mentally. I'm sure that shit is a humbling experience that you haven't experienced throughout your life. When you talk about these guys who start sometimes peewee throughout their middle school, high school, college, and then professional career, that's what they know for their lives. That's all they've known. Can't imagine what that feels like. But if Cam really feels like he's one of them dudes and could do that, then hey, enter your name into the race. Go out and compete. See what you could do. Joe Flacco came off the motherfucking couch and did what he did. Fell short in the playoffs, but he went out gunslinging. Got to unload the clip. Cam feels like he still got some more ammo. We shall see. Super Bowl. This Sunday, Chiefs 49ers. Forget the fact it's in Vegas. That really only comes into factor when you think about the prices that everything is going to be out there. If you were anywhere in Vegas right now, I feel, you know, enjoy. The shit that's already high priced is going to be at an all-time high just based off of the type of media exposure, the type of celebrity presence you're going to see out there. It's going to be a lot of money made and lost this weekend. I'm here to guide you through what I think is on the horizon, at least in the betting aspect of things. Regardless of how I feel about both of these teams, if I had to be 100% honest with myself, I'm going to say something right now that's blasphemous. But if I had to pick between the San Francisco 49ers getting a sixth championship or the Kansas City Chiefs getting another on our field, I say our field with an asterisk because to be 100% honest with you, Las Vegas is not the home of the fucking Raiders. What the feezy? Every year that they've allowed fans to enter that building, with the exception of the COVID year, going to a game. I was there when they played the Commanders, the first year they allowed fans. Was there. Shit, let me move this real quick so I can see who's on this Cliff Branch game towel. When they played the Chargers, September 4th, 2022. December 4th, excuse me. Victory for the Raiders that time. Shout out to the homie J-Mo. Let me join him and, you know, hop on to the plans you already had going on and got out to that Jets game this year where we got another victory Monday night. Sunday night, excuse me. Felt like Monday. All in all, coming from the Oakland Coliseum, where, of course, it's not as beautiful as all the bells and whistles, the celebrities, the DJs, the fireworks, the lighting, the building as a whole. I mean, from the fucking cheerleader locker room to the fucking restroom. For the public consumption and use, night and day. I can say that because we went on the tour the year that I got married, 2021. We went on the Allegiant Stadium tour, went through and seen that shit top to bottom. Beautiful place. Does it carry that same stigma that Oakland did, that LA did? No. Might be where the Raiders play, but the home field has been gone since we got there. Enough of the bickering, enough of the bullshit.
What I say now is going to come as a surprise. In another worst case scenario where not only is it another Niners and Chiefs Super Bowl, one of these guys got to get the big chip, regardless of how I feel about most of the 49er fans. I'm not going to say all. Most of the 49er fans are a little too much. The more reserved, chill, kick back joints, you know what I mean? Those fans who are still supportive of their squad, but also knowledgeable. Those who might have an old jersey hanging up in the closet, maybe a faded fitted hat. Much love. I would rather see the 49ers get a victory this Super Bowl Sunday than see the Kansas City Chiefs win one.
What the feezy?
I know. It's crazy. If I had to endorse one of these teams going forward, that is what it is, man. Go ahead and get y'all six, man. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess, right? Let's just rock with it. To the betting aspect of things, the 49ers are -2 favorite right now in this game. The over-under is set at 47.5 points. The money line is -127 for the 49ers, +107 for the Chiefs. People have documented that the highest betted or most popular bet right now is the Chiefs money line, based on the fact that it really is a pick 'em, 50-50, anybody can win. And that's making $107 to every $100 you bet. Just based on these three, I would bet for the 49ers to cover. 47.5 on the over and under means that the game would have to total 28 points for each team minimum. Not necessarily. That the grand total has to be above 48 points. 48 or more. I can see this getting into a shootout. I can see that Kansas City defense wasn't about no games against Lamar and them last week or 2 weeks ago. The Niners defense is exactly who they've proven to be. Selfishly, for the fact that I want to see a good Super Bowl, I would like to say the over, but if I had to put money on this shit, I would say it could have the possibility to be a shootout and low scoring at the same time. What I mean by that is it's not going to be every time you look at the screen, some points being scored. But when one player goes or one team goes out there and puts some points on the board, I can see the next team coming out and having a reaction to that. You know what I mean? Firing back and doing what they can. Trying to talk myself into the under, but I have to say this is probably going to be over as well. And if I had to go money line, as much as I would hope that the 49ers would win this game with those odds, I would have to put a couple dollars on the Chiefs, man. +107? Why the fuck not? Cut back on some of your weekly expenses, man. Throw 100 or 2 on the Chiefs if that's what you want to do. If you got big bread, hey, four figures. See what it do, right? I got a prize pick. Six leg pick. Already in the books and solidified. I'm not going to talk about it here. I'm not the most superstitious man, but I ain't going to discuss it. To me, that would be just enough bad juju to bust the joint, so I'm going to leave that be. All in all, I don't want to sound like a hater, but I'm not really looking forward to an Usher halftime show either. I don't know, man. We'll see. I hope that I'm pleasantly surprised by what happens this Sunday. And that I'm wrong about a few of these things, but we'll see. The time for the discussion is damn near over. Sunday was going to be kicking off 3 p.m., I believe, right? Don't quote me on that. Nonetheless, to the Niners fans, good luck. To the Chiefs fans, fuck y'all. Just is what it is. Hate to sound full of myself or narcissistic and whatnot, but it is what it is when it comes to this rap shit as well. I am getting back into my groove, man. I know that y'all who don't give a fuck are probably tired of hearing it. But y'all gonna have to deal with it.
I'm telling you, it's a problem, man.
It's Someone please put the deuce away.
Sports Show, episode 16 in the books. Football damn near over, y'all.
Someone said the rap game was fucked up. Ruck came back, now y'all lucked up.
Currently, the Warriors are playing the 76ers on ESPN. Gonna tap into that game, see what that's talking about. Face.
Let them know exactly how the fuck it tastes.
Kings got the Pistons
this
tonight.
Added treble, little bass. This is what happened.
Better come out with a victory. First game back from a 7-game road trip.
From the napkin, bro. I've been snapping since I was like 9. I was writing lowercase letters back in that time.
I was.
Now this shit is capital. All this shit in front of your face and holding motherfuckers for
ransom and collateral.
Never threw a lateral backwards. Shit was always going forward
in my motion.
Y'all ain't knowing. I had a notion since I was like 9 that I'm never finna waste one moment of my time. 38 now.
That applies here as well, so no more time wasted. Getting straight into chilling, doing what I gotta do. Gonna set up the next show for y'all. Patreon, we getting back to it. Got another show for y'all based around music and the culture. Coming real soon. Give me the weekend, y'all. I gotta work on some more of this music. Until then,
I promise any motherfuckers in this mirror right here don't want it.
Y'all find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma definitely holler at y'all later. I'm out.
My mother trying to show her that she done did a hell of a job having a little boy who became the brother to the sisters that she had way before. I'm trying to tell you, way back in 94, I was already ready to go to fucking war. Now it's 2024. Need I say more?